Maximum Health with your host, Dr. Ken Gray. Dr. Gray obtained his master's in both acupuncture and oriental medicine from the Atlantic Institute of Oriental Medicine. Dr. Gray enjoys both being a physician as well as being an educator. His unique approach to holistic healing has taken him abroad to lecture in Germany and treat sports professionals in Hawaii and France. He is co-author of several books on food therapy. His office is in Jupiter, Florida, where he has practiced for over a decade and where he resides. Now it's time for Maximum Health with Dr. Ken Gray.
Watch this space.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Maximum Health Radio, quality living with yours truly, Dr. Ken Gray, holistic physician. Thank you for joining us every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard. And we are 88.9 FM, WQCS, NPR, National Public Radio of the Treasure Coast. And any past shows or any part of the show that you want to catch again, PRX.org, PRX, Public Radio Exchange. Great resource. It's free. And I think that the beautiful thing about the show is we have amazing guests every week. I get so much feedback about people being enlightened. And if you want to give me feedback, that's Dr. Ken at drkengray.com. That's G-R-E-Y for those of you not in the know. It's an E. Anyway, so the beautiful thing, again, as I was saying, we have wonderful guests. And today's wonderful guest is Mr. Sean Taker. He's the clinic owner of Egoscue Palm Beach and Tampa, and someone that has been doing great work in the area that I basically reside and work in. And I think I've heard over the years so much great response to this Egoscue method. It's very particular. It's postural. And we're going to talk about that and how important it is. And the origins, I believe, are with a gentleman with the last name Egoscue. So if you're wondering out there, what the heck is Egoscue? Well, it's the last name of a guy who created it, an author, another genius. So let's talk to the genius we have at the studio today, Mr. Taker.
How are you doing today? I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. So Egoscue, it's very specific. It's very directed towards posture, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Really, yeah. You know, people come to us for all sorts of different things. Ultimately, what we're treating in the clinic is posture.
Yeah.
You know, getting your ankles, knees, hips, and shoulders all positioned where they're supposed to be and working together efficiently. And then all kinds of results will come from that.
There's a lot to be said about this idea of pain management. This is not pain management. This is actually getting people out of pain. Correct? Hopefully.
Yeah, this is pain relief.
Pain relief.
Ultimately.
Okay.
You know, we take a little more global view of mm-hmm. pain rather than pain being the result of a herniated disc or a spinal stenosis or whatever your diagnosis may be. Mm-hmm. We take a step back and we look at, well, why is the body reacting in that way? So if, you know, a knee, a meniscus tear or something of that nature, rather than look at the knee specifically and treat the symptoms that are going on there, we look at, okay, well, why is that joint not functioning the way that it should? Because we believe that dysfunctional movement pattern is what's actually creating the friction or the irritation that's causing the diagnosis in the first place.
So the underlying premise, the foundation of Egoscue is, in all reality, not It's pain relief through recognizing the source of the pain through your actions, from day-to-day actions as a human being.
Right. Correct? So what patterns do you have in your life? What postural positions do you chronically put yourself into that are resulting in whatever imbalances may be presented? And then how do we restore the posture, restore the function, take you out of that imbalanced position?
it seems like with so much of pain these days and pain management, this idea of all that, even in my area of the healing profession, as a holistic physician, I try to first tell people I'm not here to manage your pain. I'm here to find the root and help with that and then fix the branch as well. So,
right.
Yeah, it's when you look at yourself, saying any human being, and you look at root problems, you know, when you look at a plant, for instance, you don't just prune the leaves and, you know, right. bandage them up.
Right.
You look at the soil, you look at everything like that. So you're saying the Egoscue method really works on the postural and how the patterns of day-to-day life, things we do thousands, hundreds of thousands of times over a lifetime, really measure into our well-being, physical
exactly.
well-being.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. You know, for us, the solution lies in not treating the symptom.
Right.
You know, it's why is this happening? You know, what's bringing this into your life in whatever way it may be. Yeah. It may be, you know, like you said, you know, I sit at a desk for 12 hours a day, or I'm a construction worker and I do this particular movement over and over again. And then again, how do we take you out of that? How do we get your body to come back out of that so right. that your body has, not to say that you shouldn't do that movement or that movement's bad, but how do you have enough movement in your life so that you counter that and you can feel right. balanced and healthy?
So Egoscue would be primarily joint and spine focus, or spine, yeah,
that's typically
joints,
what our
tendons,
clients are. You know,
yeah.
it's depends on how deep you want to dive, but I think yeah. posture has a effect on many areas of your life.
Yeah, and I want to get into that with you, because
your sense of well-being, even
yes, yeah.
You talk about your respiration, your digestion.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, your body is a motion machine, a movement machine, and it has an ideal alignment that it should be in order to function optimally. You know, think about if your car is not lined up right.
Yeah.
What happens to your car? Everything yeah. starts to break down.
Yep.
It's the same thing with your body. We just take it for granted a little bit, generally speaking.
Let's go from the most physically extreme to then the psychologically extreme, you know, in regards to posture. So when I say the most physically, I know I've seen in some cases where the spine and the whole frame starts to compress on the organs,
mm-hmm.
and you sort of touched on that. So this one patient I have in mind, his digestion,
right?
He just can't even eat hardly. He can't even breathe because right. when your spine is compressed on your organs, obviously,
right. you're literally crushing everything.
You're crushing yourself.
Yep.
Yeah. So how does this work in that regard?
So it's a real. I mean, it's the same mechanism. So one of our key philosophies is muscles move bones.
Okay.
So if you take a look at that structure, you take, you know, you do an x-ray or whatever imaging you do, and you see a deformity of the spine or of the rib cage, and it sounds like kind of a scoliosis situation that you're talking about. You see those bones out of position. Well, we believe that's a muscular imbalance first.
Okay.
And then ultimately resulting in whatever degenerative condition might be present. So
right.
we just take a look at what the muscles are doing and figure out how we undo it.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is there's a plasticity with your muscles and your nervous system that can relearn and retrain itself to move differently.
Now, that's not an easy thing to do, which leads me to the other extreme, which is the psychological. When you get someone that's been in pain for a long time, their frame also reflects that.
Right.
Right, because now the body, through a series of neglecting the pain as a reason for something, they've gone about their care in terms of masking or stifling or suppressing the pain, while the other mechanisms has continued to degrade. So you get this patient, right, and they're beaten down and they're tired and they just don't want to believe that they have anything to do with their progress. What do you do?
That's a challenging thing. I
yeah.
mean, ultimately, it comes down to, you know, we say put the fear down a lot.
Okay.
We've got to connect with them in a way that they can see a possibility, because that person you just described, there's no possibilities.
Right.
They've been in pain for a long time. They're shut down. They're in, you know, fight or flight mode, and they're just kind of curled up in a ball. Yeah. And any stimulus that comes at them just puts them on overload.
Right.
So however you do that, I mean, that becomes a very individualized conversation with that person. You got to put them at ease. Mm-hmm. You've got to help them understand or let them see that you know where they're coming from. And then you've got to help them see that possibility.
Mm.
What if that pain is just your body trying to say something?
Right.
And rather than running away from it, get curious about it. You know, oh, geez, that hurts a little bit today. I wonder what that's about.
Right.
I mean, people come to us and they sometimes they expect this to get to this like ideal place of absolutely no pain.
Yeah.
It just, it's not realistic. It doesn't, I mean, sometimes my SI joint hurts a little bit. Sometimes my ankle hurts a little bit. But I don't have any fear around it.
Got it.
It's more of a, oh, geez.
Awareness.
Yeah, I wonder what I did to create that, and now I wonder what I can do to take it out.
Yeah, minimize sometimes.
Exactly.
If it never really fully goes away, you still can function with a certain amount of awareness.
Right.
And that awareness being that language we call pain.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Pete has a quote, it's on the wall at the office, wellness isn't the absence of pain, it's the absence of limitation.
Right.
You know, pain is one thing, limitation's another, and fear is another.
Yes.
You know, you can have a little bit of ankle pain and still go play basketball. If it doesn't make you afraid that,
right.
Oh, geez, something worse is going to happen.
Right.
Now.
My hip is going to fall out of my socket or something.
Right. Right. Exactly.
My head's going to fall off my shoulder or whatever. Yeah. So, you know, looking at this now, I'm starting to get a handle of it. And obviously, with you being so passionate about it, it's the reason why you became a clinic owner.
Yeah.
But this is a national organization.
Yeah.
Right, so you only own two.
Right.
Of
national. I think there's 27 clinics around the country now. There's one in Mexico. There's two in Japan.
Right.
We're trying to get into Europe a little bit. I know some guys just spent some time over there, doing some networking and laying some groundwork for some offices over there.
So it's a franchise, and in order to do what you do, you have to be passionate, like I said, but more so you have to have a philosophy of life, and that philosophy is obviously guiding you to help others from all walks of life. But that being said, the originator of part of that philosophy that you subscribe to is a gentleman by the name of Pete Egoscue.
Right, yeah.
What intrigued you about him, and what's a little bit of history that we can tell our listeners?
Pete's story. Pete's story, in a nutshell, the best I know it, he was he enlisted in the Marines during the Vietnam War and was injured in actually 1969, I think. Went through the traditional modes of therapy. Mm-hmm. Made noticed some things as he was going through that didn't really sit that well with him. Didn't get the results in terms of healing and pain relief that he was looking for. Ended up, they sent him to a psychiatrist. They thought it was PTSD or, you know, some sort of emotional stress response sort of thing. He went, he's like, at that point he had nothing to lose, so he went to see the guy and tried it and very shortly realized that wasn't the situation. And at that point, you know, he says the method was born. The method being, if I'm going to get better, I'm going to have to do it myself. And that's still a foundational principle. I can tell you, I can educate you, and I can teach you, and I can guide you. Ultimately, you got to do it. Mm-hmm. You've got to put the fear down. You've got to take the necessary steps. You've got to listen to your body and help me help you. You know, the body's a very fluid thing. I might be able to say, all right, well, it looks like you need whatever position, downward dog or triangle, whatever it might be. We've got to try it with you, and then you've got to listen.
Right.
Is my body more balanced or less balanced? Where am I right now? And then together we work to put together the sequence for you.
Right.
It's not about coming to Sean because he knows everything.
Right.
Or, you know, John or Katie or any of us. It's about coming to us so that we can help you interpret what your body's saying.
Yes. Now, brass tacks, and when I say that, I mean just getting down to the basics of what someone that says, I want to try this, will experience. You know, I have a saying, there's nothing new under the sun. Obviously, I practice a medicine that's 5,000 plus years old, and I think, you know, and some say it's traditional Chinese, but it's really not. It's just Eastern. It's all older cultures have this idea that energy and blood flow have a lot to do with the, you know, the blockage of it or the flowing of it and balance of it. It's pain and disease or the, you know, absence of pain and disease.
Right.
So these are philosophies, and then from that you get all these branches. Right.
Yep.
Right. So when I look at some of these therapies that are coming out there, they're meldings of things that people put together that are translated and presented in such a way that it will attract a certain percentage of the human population, because it just resonates with them.
Right.
And that's what we need to do. We need to package things in a way that, you know, we can some people can receive it.
Right.
And so that's what when I look at Agassiz, it's a very particular, very awesome, you know, philosophy and structured, you know, what I've learned about it and watched and read and all of that philosophy of movement and posture. When you look at it, what do you see as far as commonalities pulling from things? Do you see a little ballet, a little yoga, a little...
I see a lot of yoga.
A lot of yoga, okay. I
see a lot of traditional... You know, Pete came from the Marines, so there's a degree of old school calisthenics.
Okay.
You know, the simple sort of foundational movements and exercises. There's some physical therapy types of things. I don't know if you could call them physical therapy,
right.
But tools that physical therapists use. Like I said, yoga, downward dogs and triangles and heroes poses.
Use props too.
We use some props and pillows and some blocks. You know, there's a couple of positions that are unique that Pete sort of...
Built equipment for,
invented out of necessity in terms of, again, it comes down to how do we create a position change in the joints.
Okay.
So what do we need to do that?
Right.
Pete used to say, you know, back in the old days, he didn't really know what he was doing in terms of having like a technical process. He would say, all right, well, I see one shoulder's lower than the other and I know that has to change. So let's try some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He'd try a few things and the shoulder would start to change position. The client would start to feel better and he'd be like, all right, well, that worked. So let me make a note of that. And then again, these processes and tools developed over the years.
Right. And your endeavor with your patients to re-educate a person's mannerisms, patterns, really down to the memory, even if you could say, you know, muscular memory, how they operate. What do you think would be maybe the top three tools they use? You know,
I'm not sure if I understand that question.
Well, I think for some reason, when I look at, you said an example of a shoulder being higher or lower, and then you have the one tool might be a prop, another tool might be breath, or you know, because I think re-education requires not only someone telling you to do something, but you learning how to do it on your own and catching yourself
right
doing it wrong. And I know from yoga, for instance, breath is key. If you're not breathing properly, it doesn't matter what
move
you're doing. So would you say breath might be one of the top three tools that you give your patients?
Yeah, I would say... And I guess in terms of breath, I would, I guess, maybe take a more technical view of it in terms of the movement of the diaphragm.
Okay.
And getting your diaphragm to actually
re-educating
draw
down the breath, really.
And breathe into the lower.
Which most people don't.
No. And most people have a hard time with it, even when you're coaching them through it. Yeah. It can take a little while to get that to happen.
Most people breathe, and for some of our listeners to say, what are you talking about breathing? Some people just breathe shallow.
Right.
They're never really getting adequate breath. Therefore, their cells are not getting it, and their muscles, and the yada, yada, yada.
Well, in terms of breath, so here's a way we would educate a client a little bit. We just have them stand in front of a mirror and take a deep breath in and watch what their body does. And a lot of times they're going to run up into their shoulders, will shrug up to their ears, and their rib cage will expand. And they almost create sort of a, we call it paradoxical breathing, where they'll create a vacuum where the air should be coming in or where the body should be expanding.
Yeah.
So just having them in front of that mirror and taking that deep breath, going, oh, you see how your shoulders are doing that. All right, well, now I want you to take a deep breath, but I don't want you to let your shoulders or your rib cage expand first.
Yeah.
I want you to get that lower part of your body, to the lower abdomen, to expand. So that's one thing. That's probably one of the key things I would say. The other thing that's big with us is the body works as a unit. So that low shoulder I was talking about could be the result of something in terms of, in order to get that shoulder position to change, we've got to affect your pelvic position.
Okay.
And the stability of one hip versus another hip. And once that happens, that shoulder position will change rather than just addressing the body segmentally in sort of physical therapy type approach, I'll say.
Yeah. You know, some of the interesting Agassiz books that are out there really appealed to me. One was Pain-Free at Your PC that Pete Agassiz wrote.
Right.
The reason why that's so important is because so many people spend so many hours of their life, which is day, but life,
right,
at their computer or with a laptop or
right? Or a smartphone.
Smartphone, iPad. Yeah. And this creates a lot of problems. I'm seeing even, you know, obviously one of the aspects that you guys deal with in this book or that Pete dealt with is the carpal tunnel.
Right.
Cervical issues. Thoracic issues. I mean, there's so much. So when you look at that, how do you deal with that with people? And
okay, well, just in terms of, you know, kind of what you're talking about, where our
office ergonomics, right?
Right. So as far as office ergonomics and that sort of stuff, we kind of leave that to the ergonomics people. You know, Pete would say, you know, your body was designed to sleep on the ground. You know, if you look at cultures, more primitive cultures, they'll spend hours and hours and hours in one position. It's not the one position that you're in chronically. It's, is your body functional enough that when you get up out of that position, it comes back to a neutral, whatever posture, neutral body.
Okay.
We chronically put ourselves in this position, and as a culture where our bodies, our function level is really on the decline, mm-hmm. based on we're a society now that, I don't know what percentage, but most of the workforce is sitting in an office.
Yes. Yeah.
So there's a lot less intrinsic structural stability. Mm. You know, Pete always says, you know, 25, 30 years ago, what we did was easy because people were just tight and strong.
Right.
So all you had to do was loosen them up.
Right.
So techniques were a lot of passive stuff, a lot of things where we just got to get you to open up and loosen up.
Mm.
Now sometimes we find that there's
such
instability,
yeah.
such weakness,
yeah.
that those same techniques will actually make people less comfortable because we're actually taking that little bit of compensation,
mm-hmm.
which is where they're getting the stability. And if you take that away too quickly,
yeah.
body's got nothing.
So you actually have to build from the ground up. But the problem is with that, the initial stages, they'll experience possibly more pain. More discomfort?
Well, depending on how you approach it.
Okay.
And again, having the understanding and the listening of
yes.
of your body. So what we've noticed, the shift in our therapy has become less about let's open and loosen
yeah.
to more we've got to stabilize you first.
Right.
Get your body to be a little more intrinsically stable.
Yeah.
And then we can kind of peel those compensation layers away.
Yeah.
Where before it was just like, let's just take his compensation away and he's going to feel fine.
Right. And that doesn't work.
Yeah. That doesn't work anymore. Right.
Yeah, I remember the first time years ago, I was probably 18, I had a chiropractic adjustment, yeah. and I was in pain for like 3 days. And
right.
they explained it to me like that, you were compensating in such a way, and your spine was so used to being a certain way that now
right.
you have to adjust to being the right way.
Yeah, I've heard it more and more, like massage will be the same
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
They go get a massage and all that tightness, you know, the massage therapist works out that tightness, they feel yeah. great, and then they wake yeah. up and for two days they can't move.
Yeah.
Because they have no stability outside of that compensation.
Right. When it comes to techniques for sitting at your PC, do you walk through that with people?
Well, sit up straight. I mean,
okay. So let's talk on air.
Okay.
I'm sitting by a microphone. Saying I got a PC in front of me. Talk me through proper.
So you're going to want to put both feet flat on the floor.
Okay. Both feet are flat on the floor.
Your hips and knees should be about parallel, maybe knees a little bit lower than your hips.
So, okay.
And so right. here's where one thing that will start to come. So you, and the other thing you want to do is try to get up on your sit bones.
Okay.
Roll your hips forward, create right. that little bit of an arch in your back.
All right.
Now what you'll find is a lot of people don't even have the capacity to do that.
Oh, interesting. So instability
right.
comes in.
So okay. their pelvis doesn't have the ability to get into extension in that seated position. So you'll find people get hypermobile in their lumbar spine, or they'll create the extension through their, you know, you'll see their shoulders
go back. Yeah.
But their pelvis won't move.
Gotcha. So now I can do it, right? I'm doing it right?
Better than most.
Okay, good. Must be my ballet I've been doing lately.
Probably.
All right. Okay, so I'm doing that.
So you want to roll your hips forward, sit up tall, and then you want to have your hands probably a little bit higher than your elbows.
Okay.
So you're right where you are is not bad.
Okay.
I'd say, you know, 5-10 degrees either way is okay. Probably the biggest thing with smartphones and laptops is where your monitor is now.
Mm.
It's down on the table or just higher than the table as opposed to being up at eye level.
Okay, so you got to keep it at eye level because if you're staring down all the time, you're throwing off your cervical.
Yeah, your cervical spine.
And pulling on your traps, rhomboids, scaps get all tight and weird.
Yeah, your mid-back will start to get tight on you. All sorts of things will happen.
All right. So good. I love it. All you at home sitting down, I hope you're listening. Anyway, we love you for listening, and I just want to share with you Mr. Taker's info, so give it to him.
Yeah, our clinic is at 2401 PJ Boulevard here in Palm Beach Gardens. You can reach us at palmbeachgardens@egoscue.com. The number is 561-202-6741. If you have any questions at all, we'd love to just talk with you a little bit. There's books and there's lots of resources out there.
Yeah,
we're here to help.
And I want to give a little spelling on that, just in case people are asking, how do you spell Egoscue? E-G-O-S, C as in Charlie, U-E, Egoscue. Love it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ken. I appreciate it.
It's been great. This has been another Maximum Health Quality Living with yours truly, Dr. Ken Gray. See you next time.